Into paradigm shifters, and paradigm shifters are people that are really helping us with that goal of mastery of consciousness and changing the consciousness of our species these days. And I have a wonderful paradigm shifter with me. Some of you know her from her own radio shows here on BBS and other places, but Almeen joins us today, and Almeen is a Nahual, Toltec Nahual, a realized ascended being with her own Hi, Mastery, and I'm so excited to have you here, Almeen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Veronica. This is one of my favorite shows to be on, my sister. It's a delight. Thank you so much for having me.
What a compliment, and it's a delight for me as well. And how we were talking about, for example, the series of eclipses that have been going on, and how I feel very, very rapidly pushed by universal energy flows these days. And I thought you probably could illuminate some of that kind of movement that's going on. Do you experience
Veronica,
it that way?
Veronica, you know, you're the first person I've heard say that other than myself.
Oh, really?
Over the last few weeks, there has been such a rapid push of humankind to grow up in terms of coming out of this incubation we've had as individuations. It has been so rapid, and so many people are feeling overwhelmed, tired, sleepy, but it's part of this big push that you're describing.
Oh, it really is incredible. And instead of feeling sleepy, I've never been privileged with that. I get energies running through me, and I feel like I'm, I keep saying I'm it's like centrifugal force. I feel like it's centrifugal force, and I'm spinning out from the inside in some ways, you know?
Yes, I have felt the same.
Oh, you have?
Yes. But my students have been writing and saying, we're just so sleepy, we want to sleep all the time and things.
Oh, that's nice. I just envy people like that at times. Although we have a lot to do. So why don't you explain it with your knowledge, your perceptions, and your abilities? Can you explain it to people?
Yes, my sister, to the best of my ability. Every day there's new information coming. But apparently, see, we have been in a state where we've been bound by illusion. But bound is perhaps not the right term, because nothing is in imperfection. So what purpose really did illusion serve? Illusion kept us in these separate incubation sacs, if you will, incubation chambers. You see, and we came out of a very large incubation chamber last weekend. And multiple illusions broke down. Well, when illusions break down inside your body, you tend to detox rapidly. You know, you feel very sleepy, slight headachy, very spacey. But a lot of the membranes that have contained the cosmos in the more infantile state broke. And last weekend, and you know, the remnants have continued to go during this week. But there's a huge difference from where we are now than when we were, and many more illusions have been removed.
Hmm. So, would you tie that into the fact that there's so much revealing going on behind the political scenes, for example, in the economic world, in the political world about the deceptions and so on going on. Do you think that's all a part of that breakdown?
It absolutely is. And Veronica, I've been looking at this issue of the financial world because I've been a little bit like a little guy in the desert with a little flag saying, no, there's not going to be a global collapse, and everybody else is saying there is. But I
I'm with you.
Oh, my goodness, I'm very glad to hear that. Because I really feel that if we live abundant lives within, if we are abundant with ourselves, with time, with kindness, with things that we need to make our life on earth wonderful, if we are abundant in our own lives, it's going to ripple out throughout the world. What has been said, though, very, very clearly, is that there is a reshuffling going on so that things are adjusted to their proper value. Well, a lot of companies on the stock market are vastly over-trading, over-inflated. Many things in our economic system is over-inflated. The man in the street is carrying the brunt of things. The large corporations are not. And so there's a reshuffling of truth into true value. And you're quite right. That really is the removal of the veils of illusion so that things can have their real value.
Is it going to, is something that fascinates me is it's happening to, for example, somebody that we might judge because he's in a huge position of power or whatever. It's happening for them as well, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, if we take a look at people that have been deceiving other people for the sake of self-benefit, that's one place where the removal of illusion is going to reveal that. But the other is that Americans, for example, have been the cash cow for the world. I mean, the whole economy of China is centered on Americans buying. And not just Americans, of course, but they're a very large part of it because they've been the big spenders. And consequently, we have been encouraged and encouraged to get into debt. We have a situation where it is estimated the average American is 72 years in debt on their current salary.
Wow.
That's total overinflation.
Wow. That's terrible.
Yes.
Do you think that we can adjust? You said it's about reevaluating. And are you okay?
I beg your pardon. Would you repeat that?
That I'm whole sorry. Subject of debt made you choke. Now, that's interesting.
It did.
So do you feel that, I mean, you're so perceptive, and I know you get your information. You don't necessarily get it from CNN. Do you feel that we can evolve our way out of this, wake up, and evolve our way out of the 72-year debt load?
My sister, I think that there are four steps to finances through which it has to evolve. And the first is the counterfeit system that we are currently using in terms of the fact that there is paper money with nothing backing it. It can't clothe us. It can't even feed us. But because we've given it just a value that is a counterfeit value, it has some value for us. Mm. This is the counterfeit currency that we're currently using. Beyond that, the next step would be the barter system. And the barter system is another form of currency, except that you actually get something usable and tangible that you value. One of my students is a physician out of Moscow in Russia, and most of her clientele cannot pay her cash. They barter. They bring their potatoes. They bring their piece of needlework that they did or whatever it is. And this is what they trade for. And at least it's an intrinsic value. It's not counterfeit. Beyond that is something that moves beyond, and it requires a certain amount of impeccability, and also that somebody asks the right question, what is the most I can give? Because the majority of people out there are asking the question, what is the most I can get for the least I can give, you see? But the next one is where people pay what something is worth to them. and what they can. Let's say you go to the market, you sell your apples, one person only has a dollar, they only pay a dollar. The other person finds the apple so handy, he gives you $10 for the apple, and it evens out. But it's that kind of a pay-what-you-can system. The next one that we're moving beyond, where there is no currency, is where everybody does the work that they adore doing. They love doing it. They produce something, it goes into the kitty, so to speak, the sort of a storehouse. Everybody else produces what goes into the storehouse. Everybody takes only what they need. And so together these two things, you know, create a new currency where there's total self-sufficiency and everybody is not doing enslavement with their work, but what makes their heart sing.
Hmm. Do you think that it's going to be quite a, how do we make this kind of transition? My guides often say we have been living in an oligarchy, which is the rulership of few, of many by a few for selfish and greedy purposes, right?
So, oh, well said, yes.
Yes, so I've been chuckling and going, oh, we're living in the oligarchy. But how do you envision the transition? Because even when you're talking about the barter, I thought it doesn't take very much for certain people to start to hoard or pull aside their percentage.
That's correct.
You know?
Yes. So, my sister, the thing that I would recommend is that we start somewhere. For example, and we're a little behind schedule because we've all been working very, very hard to get up and running this week, which I'm rather proud of, our very first institute program, which is the science of immortality and incorruptibility, and we formed an institute for it, which is, if I can just put this little plug in there, it's the Institute of Applied Mysticism, and it's the appliedmysticism.com. But we've put our first course on there, which is a 3-month course, and boy, everybody's been busy. But what I've designed is my first product to put on the website. It's a beautiful audio book of the thought that fractured the infinite. We've put beautiful music as nicely as we can do it. And it's the first step I've taken to pay what you can.
Hmm.
And, you know, if we just start small, but we go to pay what you can, I think that that would be very helpful.
Hmm. I like that idea.
It's got to start somewhere, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing I've always been intrigued by, if we are creating our reality, you can live in a very different world than the person right beside you, right? So
that's
what
incredible.
I'm saying is if you have people bartering and becoming, you know, paying what you can and becoming more attuned to that kind of consciousness, even if the whole world doesn't shift, we can still live that way, right?
Exactly. And it's like that time when water starts to boil and mm-hmm. the first few molecules start to escape, you know, water mm-hmm. molecules, they mm-hmm. start to escape as steam. A few have to make that first move.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were just saying, Veronica, if I may add to that, you know, we were speaking about the cosmic incubation chamber just bursting open and, you know, we're free of this old matrix. But individuals still have their own individual little incubation chambers because just like a whole batch of eggs, they don't all hatch at once. Chickens come out at different times. And so you're right. You can literally be living next to somebody that's living in an entirely different reality because of the incubation matrix that they have chosen to keep around them.
Hmm.
So you're right. We just have to start living a different way.
Hmm. I love that. Now, your institute, I can't remember the exact name. Immortality was in there, right?
Yes, it's the science of immortality and incorruptibility, and it's a 3-month course, and the body of information that I found that is produced in multimedia, there's the virtual student lounge and so on, but it's video and audio, and every day they receive information 6 days a week for 3 months. This course, all the information there is to prepare somebody for the incorruptibility that is our birthright. And this information came through from the God Kingdom. poured out of my pen. I have no idea what I wrote other than that I've had to look back and see what it is. But it came directly from the God Kingdom, and it's the first time this information has been given to man. And it's so indicative of how it's time for us to grow up.
So when we talk about, I love that incorruptibility, but I'm going to jump to immortality because that's more obvious in a little easier discussion.
Yes,
maybe easier.
I didn't know there was a difference, by the way, till I got the information. I had no idea.
Oh, well, I would like to talk about incorruptibility, but first I wanted to ask about immortality because the way we're headed toward, you know, the frequencies are moving up and it's almost 2012 and everything is shifting, I just keep wondering if our access to immortality isn't actually tremendous right now.
It's tremendous, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
You're spot on. I just can't agree more. It is so available. The immortality is easily enough obtained that, unfortunately, through the eons, and it's not unfortunate because they've been there, because the matrices have been there, because these membranes have been there. But even dark gods were able to obtain immortality. And it is by stepping out of the wheel of the movement of the cosmos, which is linear time. They would step onto the rim of the cosmos, or they'd step into the center point of the cosmos. And at that point, there's no movement, so they're not, you know, they're not fighting against the particles of existence, the quantum physics particles, so they don't drain their resources. Plus, in addition to that, time doesn't pass for them.
Hmm.
That's an enormous advantage. And so there's been gods and goddesses of light, these are the ones from the God Kingdom, that have done the same. It's that one is really not so available to us. And there are actual tools given to enter into immortality in the Course, and then it takes you through that to the next step, which is incorruptibility. Because the information
Just let me recap and see if I've understood this. So
sure.
The first section, the first step is essentially moving out of the influence or the time. It's moving out of time. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, so...
But, see, Veronica, this will only buy one a few thousand years of life.
Okay.
Because the wheel is turning. It's just turning very, very slowly. So eventually one does start to age a few thousand years down the road, and then you have to do other methods. The most life-enhancing method is then to go beyond it into incorruptibility.
Mm.
And incorruptibility means that... whatever you are, I hope you can't hear my other phone because it is ringing. There's some person that will not give up, and I hope it's not disturbing to you. Otherwise, I should take a moment and deal with it.
I don't hear it at all.
Oh, good. Incorruptibility, the body will sustain itself as long as you are able to be an individuation. In other words, if you're life-enhancing enough to be an individuated being, your body will stay without aging.
Hmm.
That means you never have to do anything to it again. And you can see how the dark ones really can't make it there.
Hmm. So you mean can you explain individuation a little bit more?
Yes. We're each like a particular perspective as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. So we can say we're each a consciousness superimposed over all that is. It's a little bit like our own sub-personalities, because inside ourselves, we've got our inner child, you know, our inner warrior, our inner nurturer. These are not separate from us. They are everywhere we are. They are also each one of them a unique perspective, like our inner child's about a five-year-old's perspective. In the same way, each of us is a unique sub-personality, if you will, but it's more than that. It's a unique perspective superimposed over the infinite's being. That's an individuation. And then we create an embodiment, and the embodiment will stay in incorruptibility as long as we are an individuation. In the case of life-enhancing beings, that's eternal.
And incorruptibility means that if you can stay in your own truth, your own individuation, that means really true to the essence of your being.
Yes.
Which would include a kind of a personality, wouldn't it?
Not personality, according to what the records have said. I've been having to shed a lot of my old language, I can tell you, because things I've really revered have been in these records, as I've translated them, it's been revealed for actually the illusion that it is. It is not personality, but it is a unique perspective. That's what an individuation is. And it does mean you never need to renew that body again.
Wow, it's sort of almost too much for me to incorporate in my thinking at this moment. I'll have to sit and think about that, but that's my style.
I know. You know what? This is why when this material came, I thought to myself, how am I ever going to put this in a book? You know, so we tried to put it into a very palatable form, and it started last Saturday, but if folks are interested, they absolutely can still sign up, and it's not a question that they can easily catch up with what we've had.
And do you have a fair amount said about it on the website?
Yes, if they go to appliedmysticism.com, it answers all their questions. There's a little video that I give on what is the content. Each month's material is explained. And, you know, there is a situation where people can pay month by month if they need to, or they can pay all up front. But we will reimburse them if they don't like what they're having, which I very strongly doubt. But if they don't, we will give them their money back for the remaining months that they've paid. So all of that is on the website, and they can take a peek at it.
Wonderful. Wow, this is very exciting. And it's all new. You're one of the most prolific people I've ever met. I'm telling you, you've got books,
honey,
and you've got
I'm
shows.
One of the most prolific people I've ever met. I don't know what's happening. I feel like a puppet on the string. My hand starts moving, and it pours up, and there's nothing I can do, Veronica.
Wow.
I don't know what is happening.
Isn't that wonderful,
you know,
though?
But, love, do you know what? I have now written. I don't know what books I've written since January, because there's well over 23 books.
Wow.
Half of them are manuals for the healing modality Belvaspata, but the other half are absolute books. Some of them are ending up as the institutes, because I can't stay ahead of publishing these puppies.
And your website, you're also putting a lot of current information. You have a blog as well, don't you?
Every day we have two Twitters. One is Almine Wisdom Twitter, which just gives wisdom insights from each day. Then I have got at the AlmineDiary.com, and right now this week they're featuring, I have a workbook journal in which the bits as they come in the day are put down, and languages and tablets and interdimensional photographs. And we have got that featured this week, every day a page of it. But every day there's a new entry, yes.
Almine, when did you start doing this kind of transmission? When you were very small, when you were born, or was it, you know, I know you didn't write yet, but, I mean, has this been just your life, this time, just being a part of your soul?
My sister, it was much different. I was doing quietly work as a Toltec Nagual work, leading small groups of apprentices out of illusion and into the more advanced stages that humans have. So freedom from illusion was the purpose of a Toltec Nagual. I was working with small groups of women, sometimes men, mostly women, out in the wilderness. And then in February of 2005, when I had this massive transfiguration happen, and right after that found myself standing before an embodied being of light, and was told, from this moment on, you're going to be doing exactly what I say. And one of the primary things was to gather the original creations of the infinite from all over the world that was called at the time, gather the pillars of my temple. I had no idea what that meant.
Hmm.
It's been only in the later years, you know, since 2005, I've just been walking around with gather the pillars of my temple. But in the last few months, I've begun to understand that there was an original 144,000 created. It started first with 144. The pent-up potential in them cast a shadow. Well, when the next, it's like a light shining through a lens. When it went onto the screen, these occlusions in their hearts, which are nothing more than unyielded potential, cast huge shadows because it's unaccessed light is what potential is.
Hmm.
This eventually created humankind, which is called the root race. From them, the densest race, came more and more and more etheric races. But each time, these shadows became bigger. Well, what you do is you go to the original lenses and assist them to access the potential, and you clear up everything else, you see. Only recently realized what was going on.
So the etheric, you're saying etheric races came in?
From us.
Hmm.
See, we never knew that. We have always been made to feel, for many different reasons, by different beings and churches and everything, inferior as humans. And, oh, it's so much better to be an angel or to be in the higher levels of light. Well, it's here where it began.
Hmm.
And they are more etheric because there's subsequent screens upon which light moved through light moved through light. We are the original cradle of civilization, and so is the earth.
Hmm.
And that's why we've been this major pivot point for ascension.
Hmm. Well, where do you
Isn't
think
that
we're...
interesting?
It's very interesting, actually. Why did it all start?
Why did it all start?
Yes, is there ever an answer to a question like that?
Well, I will tell you that I've had an answer about every 6 months. And by now, I'm telling you this is this 6 months answer. Because we evolve, and as we evolve, it opens and it opens and it opens. So, my sister, to the best of my ability right now, what I can see is that we were created purely for delight.
Hmm.
We were created to create a beautiful, exquisite, creative process, dance up to the song of life, to have the feet to dance with. Because as I peel things back, as these illusions move and move and move away, what I end up finding is only oneness. We never have been even separate individuations. It's just a peculiarity of our vision that we see ourselves as separate. It's a way that you talk to yourself or dance with yourself or play with yourself when you're alone in everything that is just you. We are not separate beings. Relationship is part of the biggest illusions. But we play the game of relationship because it's a delight. And so we've taken different aspects, different facets of this gem of existence, and pretended they're separate from the gem just so that we can have the delight of relationship. There is nothing to learn. I have always taught this is all about learning, it's about becoming, and found to my astonishment that I was completely wrong.
Hmm.
There's nothing to learn. There is nothing to become because the infinite already is everything.
So why all the densities that we've been through in our life, soul journey and so on? You know, there's been so much.
Yes, there has. And part of that has been the fact that we've been living within illusion, which is a matrix.
Do you think it's part of that we get incensed or involved in the emotional or the reactive stuff, and then we try to kind of hoard what's our safety, and then it kind of tumultuously promotes itself?
Well, you know, Veronica, there's so many things that we have been misinformed about simply because we were at a lower level of consciousness.
Hmm.
And it's like a little child seeing their mother walk to the other room and saying, "Mommy is gone, she's totally abandoned me," because they can't conceptualize the other room. And but so the things that you're saying is certainly valid. That's a very big part of it. On the other hand, we've been trying to fix, we've been trying to save. Light workers have made themselves into martyrs for eons of existence. All those things put together. But in the big picture of it, we needed the illusion because it created an incubation chamber for us to create these facets, to identify the different shades of the white light. And now that we're out of it, it's that we've gone back into the oneness, and now we are able to play the game of revelation. Sorry, not revelation, of relationship. We're able to play the game now knowing there's a purpose to it, and the purpose is joy, and so forth.
There's still so much, the questions I want to ask you are coming from a lower consciousness in the sense of saying things like, but we still have so much struggle going on. We still have so much fear. There's so much fear out there, isn't there?
There is, but remember, some of the chickens are still in eggs.
Right.
And some of the other chickens have hatched. And it's like two entirely different realities. Those of us that are not bound by illusion, and I say us, that every day of my life, I find a new illusion. That I am seeing. And so, you know, I know that I am still working on thinning my egg in a way, but if you're out of the egg running around on the lawn, you can't believe how people can live inside an eggshell.
Can you give us a simple example of how to, say, step forward in coming out of this little cocoon, this little, what did you call it?
Yes, cocoon, egg, whatever we want to say. And I'm making it up as we go. My sister, it starts with humility. The biggest mistake in terms of, there really are no mistakes, it's just notes that are not playing as we play our music, but the biggest way for us not to enhance our journey through life is to think we know. And absolutely every day of my life, I make my yesterday's truth in some way wrong because I've pushed a little further. But the only way we can do that is to acknowledge to ourselves we know nothing. And the reason is we're living in the unknowable. The unknowable.
I guess if we're living in a reality that we've believed in and then we break out of it, of course, we don't know. So I guess that's a really beautiful beginning place all the time.
Yes, that is what I would give as the pivot point.
Wow. It's really mind-boggling. Isn't it mind-boggling? It's lovely.
Oh, honey, I'm like a kid in a candy shop every day of my life. I don't even know where to begin. Life is so beautiful.
Ah. Tell me this, Almeen. Do you think some of the children are coming in without those little cocoons or compartments?
Yes.
Or are they not?
My sister, you're so right. And the beings that are coming at higher and higher levels. And there's a lot of factors contributing to that. Part of it is the collapse of linear time. Because we would, if we had stayed on the wheel of the cosmos, which was our previous incubation chamber, it goes up and up and up in a spiral. But as it turns, what lies in front of us is future. And then, you know, it goes round and becomes the past again. But the future development of humankind is so that when the wheel bursts, no more movement, the future, everything piled into the one place of timelessness. The souls that were advanced waiting for future births, when we would have caught up with such development, had to come in now.
Uh-huh.
And so these extraordinary future beings, so to speak, where there is no longer a future if there's no longer a wheel, if we're just entered into the oneness again, so the future beings are here being birthed right now. That's one of the reasons.
Hmm. Is there such a thing as ET, or is that just a part of the awakening, you know?
There's many ETs, and in fact, the Infinite has told me that next January, I will be receiving a 300-page book, which should also be part of the Institute of Human Potential that's in Singapore, just forming for next year, but that I would receive 300 pages of the pedigrees of the races, how they came from Earth, from humanity. Mm-hmm. Because if we're that original race, they came from us. They are our children. And mm-hmm. in addition to that, I will be receiving translations for the crop glyphs and also the interaction of these races with us. I had a situation. Do we have a moment I can tell you a funny story?
Oh, please.
Here?
I love that. Yes.
Well, I had a class of women, and this happened before the calling of the Infinite that I had to be doing this work. I had a class of women that came to me as apprentices for the next week, and four of them showed up at my door the week before. My office had sent four of them the wrong date. I said, oh no, I have to work 2 weeks now, you know, instead of 1 week, but there must be some reason to this. Oh my goodness, Veronica, the entire week, the four of them and myself, we're on and off and on and off for hours a day on an Andromedan craft.
Wow.
And Journey to the Heart of God has the stages of change in it, which is transformation, transmutation, transfiguration. They taught me that.
Uh-huh.
And we were on and off the whole week. One lady was crying the whole week. The other one was hysterically laughing the whole week. The other one was dancing the whole week. And the other one was just looked like she was a deer in the headlights. This is what we went through the whole week. And two of these beings, they were tall, slender, bluish beings, stayed with me for about 6 months. I was lecturing in California. Dr. Fred Bell actually saw them standing next to me. And when I wanted information, I would put my finger between my eyebrows, and they would pour it into me to give to the classes. And it was an extraordinary experience. But since then, you know, I haven't had that much.
Oh, this is very exciting. I would love to have that. So what does it take to start this is a cheeky question, I think, but to call in a transmuting experience as you had in 2005, is it possible for us to call those to ourselves?
Yes, it is, honey. Very, very much so. The tools are being given to us, but I will tell you, it takes tools if you wish, but it can be done without it. There are several ways in which this can be done. The first one is through very intense and prolonged states of gratitude or praise or love. When one is in identity consciousness, where you still identify with the body and emotions, the easiest one is gratitude, where you can truly see behind the appearances of obstacles that what they simply are is the banks of the river sending us in a slightly different way as we flow according to the Infinite's design. But if we are grateful for everything that comes our way, we take time to be grateful for the beauty of nature and the people in our lives. That is one way. The love and praise and gratitude is one way. The other thing that is a very definite way is alchemy. Now, we have 14 different websites. Again, simply because I received so much information, I didn't know what to do with it, so we put it on websites.
Mm-hmm.
And the two that I would recommend for specifically what you're saying is the wheelsofthegoddess.com is the level of physical alchemy.
Hmm.
Now, we have alchemy beyond that, which is part of a future course, but physical
is that
alchemy,
healing? Is physical alchemy healing? And
It's transmutation.
Right. Okay.
Because what transmutation is to take lead and turn it to gold. So
right.
What it is like if you have a chunk of lead and you add another chunk of lead, you've got two chunks of lead, right? But
right.
If you have lead and you add something very special, you could end up with gold. In other words, it's a leveraging alchemical equation. So you can leverage your current consciousness. And there are methods, if people are more tool-oriented, on that website, of course, for free. And then we've got another website, which is thedivinearchitect.com.
Hmm.
Divinearchitect.com has actually transfigurational principles in that people can use. And so we've got techniques that are just coming from every which way we turn for humanity for this time. We've got the love and the praise and the gratitude. What I have done, because every single one of my books has as its aim exactly what you're saying, to create this transfiguration in people, the way that my books do it, is, and, you know, I've tried to make it so it's for everyone, but it is to make them stretch their minds beyond where they go. Because what we're trying to escape is the tyranny of surface mind saying that it knows. Well, if you take the vision further and further and further, it's eventually the surface mind gives up. And that's when you go into the next phase of the expanded awareness. And then you go beyond that phase because it's as addictive with its bliss as it is to be attached to form. But if you go beyond it, you're in the place of all perspectives at once.
Wow. What about the subconscious in the programming that we've dealt with?
Yes. The subconscious is really what is called black light. Now, this is a little technical. Is that okay?
Sure, of course.
If I get too technical, you just put the lid on me, my beloved sister. Don't worry about it. If you take black light, which is the subconscious of the cosmos, our own subconscious is in black light. People that know how to use black light and black frequency, which is associated with it, have been misusing it terribly to control humankind. For instance, HAARP uses the subconscious of the planet, which is where fear and various things like that have been stuffed that isn't dealt with. It's the black frequencies of planetary consciousness, and they use it to control people's emotions. There are HAARP facilities all over the world. But we can use it against them because, in other words, not against them, but it can backfire in the following way. If you have equal amounts of black light with white light, or equal amounts of black frequency with white frequency, and you combine them, what happens is you end up totally eliminating illusion. So the subconscious is past potential that slumbers. If you bring light to mind and you absolutely open the door between the two, you get to the place where it cancels out the illusion of your life. This is changeless change.
How do we do that? Through meditation? Through calling in the universal light?
There's, again, multiple techniques. First of all, if folks are interested in reading about black light, and I will show them what it's like because I photographed black light, and that will be on my diary this week. But also, if they go to my diary and do a search for black light or black frequency, they will see the pieces that I've written and put on there so they can better understand that. Because of that, we have been receiving information on how to work with autism and Alzheimer's.
Yay.
Because those are patients. It's not something I've been waiting for years for this.
This is exciting,
but
yes.
See, it couldn't come till I got the issue of the black light because they live in black light. And so you have to, you know, but anyway, so just to quickly answer your question, I don't have a clock here, and I just tell me when we just have a few minutes left. But
yeah, we have about 4 minutes left, I think.
Okay. I will be what the little fairies around my house call speedy quick. so we've been photographing them, Veronica. They're so precious. But anyway.
That's wonderful, yeah.
The black light, you have to up the quota of white light. White light is the realization when things are illusional. to really question, to come yet again back to that point of I live in an unknowable cosmos. Even if I think I know my child, my husband, my aunt, my whatever, I don't. Because every single moment, life unfolds anew in such a way that every creature is different moment to moment. We keep them locked into boxes by thinking we know. So if we examine the illusions and start to shed them, and there's a lot of them on my blog that they can just read, and it's under Illuminations.
Okay.
Then you are upping the quota, then you're subconscious. You examine your fears, you examine the things that are there, but the mind is so filled with light that as you start to examine those things, you're opening the gates. The subconscious and the upper mind cancel each other out, getting rid of mind. And what stays in its place is effortless knowing, the place of pure genius.
Do you recommend meditations, or is this...
My sister, if it's a helpful tool for people, I'm fine, you know, certainly do that. But meditation is the expansion. To meditate often does not necessarily push you into the advanced levels of humankind. It doesn't necessarily push you into immortality or God consciousness. My classes in Asia are primarily Zen masters. And they say to me, I like the peace. And I say, yes, and you're in your fishbowl. Because that peace of meditation comes from living in the known. There is no growth in the known.
So essentially it's bringing consciously, bringing in light, bringing in...
What it takes is to push into the unknowable, not to think you know. And when you're in meditation, you basically are sinking into the known. The discovery of life, the exhilaration of this wonderful journey of such adventure. If we relax back in the arms of spirit, knowing that it's moving through us, there's nothing really to concern ourselves about. And so then we can really start to enjoy life. And it's, you can see how that is a little contrary to living a life of a Zen master in deep meditation.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's grappling with the shadow in many ways, I suppose, in the style.
Well, they actually say there's no shadows.
Oh.
They many of them say there's no shadows to me, okay? Mm. I say to you, there is no shadows.
Mm.
To the one who pushes and pushes beyond these limits, he actually creates shadows because they're timing mechanisms so the chicken doesn't leave the egg prematurely. Then you get one that goes beyond that, and they say the shadows are but the result of unaccessed light that is within me.
Oh, my. Well, give everybody your connection points again, your websites. Maybe you don't want to list all 14 because people won't get them all.
No, it's listed on my one home site, you know.
Great.
And the one home site, if I may, is www.spiritualjourneys.com, and there's a page that will lead them to my Twitters, there's a page that will lead them to the diary, and to all the other websites.
How wonderful, and to your classes.
Yes, my love.
Tell me this, is kind of, again, a capricious question, but do you think that the eclipses are really significant?
My sister, yes, they are. They are the eclipses of light. Light is a building block of existence. Light was part of the matrix, as was frequency.
Mm-hmm.
When those are no more, which has actually happened except for those who still live in their matrices, the true divine illumination, which is something that isn't a created substance, comes into being. This is what has happened this month, is the removal of the old building blocks of existence, including the little light particles and frequency particles.
But it seems to be hurtling us into growth, which is...
It is.
Maybe the
withholding... The eclipsing of mind, so we go to beingness. Mm. And that means action, too, but it means that life moves through us.
Mm. So we really are in the cotton candy machine right now,
spinning
us into
higher.
You know, I've really enjoyed this. You've given me so much food for thought that I tend to want to be sitting and chewing everything you said. So I love your work. You're an amazing, example of possibility, human potential.
Thank you so much, Ms.
And love. And
I love being on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, please come back, and we'll be paying attention to your classes, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. May you bless me. Well, that was Almeen, who's given us a lot of work to do, and a lot of, not really work, it's more like a lot of expansion possibilities, and that we've come out of cocoons or eggshells, and our conscious is going through rambunctious refitting in a way, isn't it, so that we get to know very little and expand into infinite possibilities. I love the idea of immortality. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I hope you do, too. And if you'd like to suggest any other paradigm shifters or give me feedback on this Almeen show or anything else, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle, no H in Entwistle.com. My paradigm shifter next week is Donna Eden, who's really a groundbreaking energy. She's taught so much about using energy that she makes me feel we can move way past the whole health insurance reality. She's just fascinating and has done some amazing work. She hasn't talked about immortality, but she talks about transcending aging and all of that using energy. I'm up for that. I'll see you on Thursday night in Jackie Salvitti's show, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And, of course, I really enjoy your call-ins and our talk on Radiance by Design at 4 o'clock next Tuesday. Let's all take a moment and feel the love, the universal love. Call it in consciously. Bring it down through your body and send it out to all of you listening, to our listening community and everywhere in the world. But I appreciate our community. Thank you. Many blessings.